unashamed of who He is in your life. I'm unashamed. Amen. I'm desperate for Him. I'm hungry for Him.
Yes.
My walk doesn't determine whether anybody else does, but it determines of where I am with Him.
Amen.
Amen. And I pray tonight, those that are here, not everybody's here tonight, but that's all right. I just pray just a blessing upon you. I mean, I know that God, I mean this all in my heart. If there was one person, if it was just Mimsy and me or my wife, I'm okay. I want more to come, but because I know that I know how valuable the time is that I spend with God and the time that I spend that God speaks to my heart. And I know it's powerful. I know it's valuable. So if that one person comes, I know how powerful that word is to that one person. God's doing something unique. God's doing something powerful. And I just hear from different ones that really feel that God's sweeping things out. We heard that here, that He's sweeping things out. That the only thing that would be left is Him. That really, that there'd be a demonstration. That's the word. It's demonstration. And that's the word that really has been in my heart, is demonstration. And I realize it's even more than healing. It's more than miracles. It has to begin more than that. That's what God really was speaking in my heart. That we don't seek the healing, but we seek the healer. But we need demonstration. And Jesus showed us, He demonstrated, I hope tonight that I could share that with you, but He demonstrated His works, the works of the Father, that I do the works that the Father sent me to do. And that He's verified by the demonstrations of the miracles, that it verifies that the Father's with Him. So God wants to verify you. But it's got to begin a demonstration of the power of God in me. In me, privately. No one's around. In my thoughts. Am I being overwhelmed or possessed by God in my thoughts? In my walk? In all that I do? Is He possessing every area? Am I surrendering Him that place? And in the midst of that, God says, as you make a step that God moves towards us, that those moments that we release it to God, that there's a demonstration of God's power in my life. A demonstration of God's power in my life. An expression of His love. Because the Bible says, if you seek me, you find me. If you knock, I'll open the door. If you ask, I'll give it to you. But those take a demonstration in me. Those are actions. For a demonstration of Him, there has to be a demonstration in me. On the outside, it has to be inside. Come on, do you hear that tonight? It has to be inside. God's working His work in me. In me. He's maneuvering things. He's shifting things. He's working. Come on, saints. He's working. He's working. He's working. I want you to know that each one of us be at a place where we're sensitive enough to hear and to understand that God's working in me. He's working within our lives right here, right now. For something bigger and greater than we can imagine. I'm telling you. And I asked God, I was prayerfully asked God for the past few weeks. I've just been praying. I said, God, Lord, I as a shepherd, I don't randomly pick something out of the Bible to preach about. But I want you to understand with everything I have within me that I'm desperate to give you what God desires you to have to grow. So I have to lead you to the pastures God puts in my heart to lead you, that He wants you to be, to eat from. Sometimes it's not popular. Sometimes we want to go off. We don't want to go here or there. We want to do this. We want to eat from this area. Sometimes myself, I do. So I asked God. I was asking God just prayerfully. I mean, like pretty aggressively day and night. Boy, I love when God talks to you. And God took me to Timothy. Because here's the thing, that, man, listen. I'm overwhelmed that when God talks to me, He's talking to me for you. He's talking to me about you. You. That's why I don't get frustrated by numbers, because it's the one, that 99, that He'll leave the 99 to go after the one. That's the heart that I want with God. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But He took me to Timothy. And I began to understand, I began to see some things in Timothy that is pretty powerful, because Timothy was at a place which is pretty unique, because he was asking Paul, and Paul was giving him spiritual advice for the congregation. And I didn't know that before, but when I was praying, I don't always do this, but I just randomly open my Bible early in the morning, and I begin to read all through Timothy. And I'm like, wow. And it was like God was bringing me, it was like Paul was reading me a letter to the congregation. It was like God was giving this letter to me from Paul to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what, it was for me, but to give to you. And there was different things that jumped out in my spirit, that jumped out, that when I read it, it just, it was like God just, you know, you heard Him. I'm here to tell you, listen, don't think you waste your time. When you seek Him, you find Him. You find Him. When you knock, He opens. He's there. He reveals Himself to you. He reveals Himself to you. But there has to go to a place that God's bringing His people to a place where that it's beyond that He's mine. That God wants us to be at a place like the Song of Solomon's, where that it was a place where that He said, the bride said, He is mine. But it came to a place at the end where it says that I'm His. See, that's where God wants us to be, where that it's a place of surrender, where it's saying that I'm His. Man, He saved me. What everything that He does for me, I'm waiting for Him to do this for me, this for me. But now I'm saying, God, it doesn't matter. I just want You. I want You. I want You. I really feel that. I feel like there's a move of the Spirit. I believe that there is a deposit, there's a release, that those that seek Him desperately, those that come to that place of surrender, saying, God, Lord, I want to hear from You. I want to know Your voice. I'm knocking. I'm going to knock. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to be relentless. That's the kind of faith He's looking for. He's looking for. And it might not feel like, you know, that you don't have it, but keep knocking. Amen. You might not see results right away. You might not see it right away, but you're asking. You might not see the answers. You're knocking there. It might not be open yet. Come on. You feel that sometimes. You feel it might not be open. You get spurts of different things, but I want you to hear this. But God says, those people, I'm going to deposit a God faith. I'm going to put a faith within you. Like Abraham, that was able to walk, not knowing the direction, not even able to bear a child yet, but went, no matter what. Be like Moses, that you're going to lead 3.5 million people out of Egypt. Okay. That kind of faith. That as we seek God, that He deposited that within us, stirred within our hearts. But He said this, I just read this, I just want to read this part. It says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. I kind of felt like this, that I want this church to be this way, that I'm not afraid to cry in front of you. I'm not afraid to release the emotion that I have, the feeling that I have for you, for people, for what God speaks in my heart. But I want us to be at a place where that we're not fakes, man. That every one of us are willing to, that we're not a place where that I hope I lead by example, that you're able to share with me your your hurts, your pains, the things that your failures, your brokenness, that we're able to be at that place where that we don't see each other in the brokenness, but we see each other from a place of fully equipped and powerful in the name of Jesus Christ. We see you from the praise of what Calvary's done for you in the resurrection life, that you're seated with Him in the heavenlies. I see nothing else but Christ. That this is what Paul wrote. He said, I want you to see nothing else but Christ in them. That we see nothing else but that this one another, the people walk in, that we don't see them from the place of, we see them from the end. From what Jesus sees them, how He sees them, fit, put together because of what He did. So, I long for this, that thou fully known, this is in 2 Timothy 3:10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long sufferings, love, patience, my persecutions, and my afflictions. That we be in a place with one another that you know my afflictions, that you know my persecutions with one another, that we know these things, that you're willing to know my love, that even though you know me in my afflictions, you know me in my pains, you know me in all these, you know me in my long sufferings, but you know me in my love, you know where I am, you know where my doctrine stands, you know where I walk, that one another, that we stand with one another. And he says, yea. He says, endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want you to see that, listen, I want you to be able to trust the one that you follow. See, that he was telling me, he says, Paul, he says, Timothy, I'm not telling you something that I'm not living toward. I'm not setting this before you that you cannot see, that I'm not putting something before you to say, listen, you need to do this and not doing it myself. I gotta get a tissue. He says, continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He says, and that from a child thou hast known. I'm not done with that. I got to finish that again. Because listen, we got to know who we're listening to. We got to know who we're following. We really do. I mean, you got to be at a place, if you can't trust the person you follow, we need to stop following. Just saying it. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which thou hast able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given for inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions, and for righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can you say good works? He says, and I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the words, be instant in season and out of season. I want to say constant. Say constant. That we're able to preach the word, that my life projects the gospel. The gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That my life preaches the third day. That out of everything that I live comes the third day. The death, the burial, and resurrection. And Jesus Christ seated upon the throne. Listen, my thoughts need to come from that place. My walk needs to come from that place. Everything, a place of surrender, a place of power, a place of authority. Amen? a place of who He's seated upon. That when I walk in that place, that all my life needs to come into that submission. That we walk in the Spirit. That I come to a place of surrender, amen, and I come in power, amen. It's not by my works, but it's from Christ. That's why sometimes we get wary, because we don't walk in the third day reality of Jesus Christ. We don't walk in that reality. And Christians get wore out. Christians get down and they get this and that. But the reason why is because we're not walking in the reality that Jesus presented to us to walk in. The fullness of it. Amen? Because sometimes we hold back. Sometimes we hold back. And holding back, amen, it's not letting Him work in me. It's not letting Him work the works within my life. To demonstrate the power. Whew. I want you to hear this. Amen? He says, in season and out of season, man, when I feel like it, when I don't feel like it. Whew. See, that is the demonstration of power. That is the working of the Spirit. That is Christ working in my life. That is the joy, not because of something that I gain or something that I have or something that comes in my life or something that happens, but just because it's on the inside and it works out of me. That is the demonstration of Christ's power in me. He wants to demonstrate that. He wants to demonstrate that in our lives. He says, rebuke, exhort. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, instructions, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachings, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from truth. I need to know the truth. I need to know the truth. I mean, we talked about this before. Know the truth. Listen, Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just the word. I mean, I want you to know the word. It's not just about us memorizing it. It's not just, no. And that's great, because trust me, I like to do that as much as how hard it is for me to do that. But it's to know the truth, to know Jesus, to come to a place of intimacy. Come on, amen. It's a place of, that word know means to come into intimacy with Him. It's to be in an intimacy. But I don't want to be in a place where you stand before Him. He says, I know you not. You've never entered into intimacy with me. You've never entered into a place where that you came to a place where that you surrendered. Come on, that's where that is. That's where you surrender yourself. When you come into marriage and you in the marriage chamber, that you come to a place of intimacy. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of release. It's a place of not worried about embarrassment or not worried about anything else, but coming in a place of nakedness, exposed to that one that you love. A place where they were able to produce. He says, so turn away their ears, he says, from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. They don't know the truth. I want you to know, the more that we come intimate with Him, the more that we knock, the more that we seek, the more that we come into that reality of Him, the more that we know the truth. 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 Hallelujah. It's determined within us. It's set within us. And the truth shall make you free. It'll make you free. It'll make you free from things that bonded you, things that try to cause you come to subjection. Amen? To come into bondage. Amen? Can you help me out tonight? But this is the scripture right here. I have this to share, but I felt like I needed to share this. Is this all right? This ain't a downer. I want you to be lifted up. Are you okay? You all right? He says, but watch. This is what the Lord spoke to me for this church. Can somebody look up Romans 15:19? And just get ready to read that for me, the first part of it. You ready? He says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions. Endure. Amen. Endure afflictions. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Say, make full proof. Do the work of an evangelist. And this is what... And you say to yourself, this is what God spoke to me about the church, about our church, about us, is is to do the work of the evangelist. Amen. He says, and make full proof of the ministry, that we're to make full proof of this ministry, that God's with us, that God's behind us, that God wants to demonstrate through this church, amen, hallelujah, the evangelist to spread it forth, amen, of who he is. And this is what it means. Read that. Romans 15, 19, who got it? Read it loud. Wait, no. Romans 15, 19? I was thinking, wait a minute here. There it is. Yeah, okay, here it is. Now listen, I want you to see this. He says, work the works of an evangelist. Make full proof. What's making full proof mean? Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. To make mighty signs, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what God, make full proof of this ministry. See, this is what he was telling Timothy. He says, I want you to make full proof. Hallelujah. I want there to be a demonstration from the back of the pew, hallelujah, all the way to the pulpit, from the right to the left, every single area. I want there to be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit through your lives. Not just through a pastor, see, God's not going to move that way. God's not moving that way through a one-man show. He's not moving that way, but he's going to move through a body. That's why I'm so desperate to come together. That's why I have these classes, so that we come to a place of surrender, that we come to a place where our hearts are full assurance, and we stand in that place that there be a demonstration of God working to prove the proof of who he is in the earth. So that we work those works. Now listen. Hallelujah. This is the work of God. So we say to ourselves, what is the work? Remember how they came to Jesus. How do we do the works of God? How do we do that? Minister Jesus says, this is the works of God. That you believe who he sent. That you believe in me, Jesus. You believe in me. Wow. That's how you work the works. That you know. That you believe, that you know. Listen, believing is not just... Believing is trusting. Believing is surrender. It's not just half-heartedly. I mean, it's a fully believing. It's believing, hallelujah. It's not a partial. You can't partially. No, it's a place of fully surrender that I come to understand that it's not partial. It's not a piece of it. It's the full reality of everything, releasing it to him. That's believing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Listen, I think that the enemy is going to trying to do everything he can to undermine the authority of the word. This is why we got to understand. This is why there needs to be a demonstration of power. Of the authority of God's word. That it doesn't work. That we face persecution for even coming to a place of saying that God wants to work miracles through your life. And I hope that I can make this clear to us, each one of you, to understand of why it's sometimes persecution, why we face this thing, why that we're disrupting the normal. The enemy wants us just to flow in the normal. But God's stirring hearts of people. Amen? So let's look at 1 Corinthians. Now we're in Corinthians. Are you okay? First Corinthians 2:1-16. He says, I've not come to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. To know anything else but him crucified. That I see, when I look at you, I see the death, burial, and resurrection that you're in Christ. Say in Christ. You're in Christ. That when Jesus said to Peter, to Paul, that you persecuted my Christians, he says, you did it unto me. I didn't do it unto you. Yeah, you did. Because they were in me. So when you came against them, you came against me. See, when the church realizes that, listen, when we come to that, realize that we're not pointing fingers or we persecuting, going after one another, that we're going after Christ. When we go against the body, we go against Christ. He says, I've determined not to know. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. Sometimes how I feel sometimes. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, how I feel sometimes, of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. It was more than just enticing words. It was more than just anything else tickling your ear, but it's with demonstration. I want it to be in demonstration. That he said, Paul was saying, I want this to be in demonstration, but in the power of God. How about that we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of this world? How many of you guys know that there's still princes operating, there's still demon work in the world? It's active. Tell your neighbor it's active. I want you to know the more that I know him, the more I see it. The more that I see it. Amen? Come on. We're not asleep. Amen? We're not asleep. Amen? Though we're awakened to the reality, the truth. Amen? Of what's out there. He says, the princes of the world that came to naught, that what they did didn't come, it came to naught. Amen? See, I want us to get this. That is a possibility for you. For what the world has done, what the system of this world, what things are going on in the world, can be a possibility for you of having no effect. Listen. He says, but we speak with wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Come on, amen. Why? Because they didn't know. They heard of. There's a lot of Christians out there that are people out there that they heard of God, that we talked about it, whether they say you're Christians. But do we really know that term? Am I willing to sell out with what I have to say that I take hold of that name of my life, that name of Jesus. That not only is that for me, that, you know, the Bible, I don't want to offend anybody. The Bible never says that Jesus came for me to go to heaven. That I can have life abundantly. That I was saved to do the works of the Father. That I might do the works of the Father. We'll look at that in Ephesians. But that I might have eternal life. And you know what eternal life is? It's God. It's the Father. He is eternal. It's Him. We get our eyes on time. No. He says that we focus on this. We're so selfish-minded. We're that, oh, it's my way to heaven. No. I want you to understand that there's something more powerful. There's a demonstration that God says, a form of godliness, but deny the power of God working in your life to demonstrate who He is in the earth. And he says that these ones in the world, because if they'd have known what Jesus was doing, they wouldn't have crucified. They would have hung him on the cross, because they say, wow, this was the answer, but they missed it. But I want you to know that he was working the works even before he came in the flesh. We know that. Hallelujah. We can look in the Bible. We can see from Adam all the way to Jesus is 4,000 years. And we know that 4,000 years speaks of a day to God. And a day, 1,000 years. So they say 4 days. So from that's 4 days. So from Jesus till now, it's been 2,000 years. We're entering into the next day. It's the third day. That's 7 days. It's His day. That we step out of our works and let Him work in us. That you do your works, God. You do your demonstration in my life. So here's Jesus doing these works from all the way back. He was the answer for every remedy, Every remedy of sin, whatever answer there was. Remember how that they got bit because they were bitter and they were biting one another and the snakes came up because of their bitterness. He gave them what they were speaking out in your mouth is blessings and cursings. And so out of their mouth came cursings, came the product, what you sow you reap, came these serpents that were biting. But Jesus was the answer. The Bible says that they said they took a serpent and put it on a pole. And it says if they look at the serpent, Jesus became sin, who knew no sin. That if you get your eyes on Jesus, which represents the cross, that you'd be healed. But all through the Bible, there's these demonstrations, these shadows of what was to come, that he was the answer. Tell someone he's the answer. He's the answer to everything. This is what's so powerful about this, that we can see these demonstrations of everything. I'm not even going to go into the next part. Here's one. Of leprosy. We understand that leprosy in the Bible speaks of sin. Let me finish this first. Amen. He says, but it is written, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, and have not entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Wow. They have not prepared for them that love him. Wow. And God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. See, I want you to get this. The key is the Spirit. To know the truth. To be made free is through the Spirit of God. So he says, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things. There's some deep things in you. Come on, amen. There's some deep things within us. There's deep things. There's places within every one of us. There's the deep things within us. That the deep things of God, the deep resources that God has, is able to minister to the deep places of my heart. To answer the questions that are deep within me that nobody else can. The God who created me can answer them in himself through the Spirit. He's longing to answer the questions. He's longing to answer, to be the truth in our lives. To every remedy, every situation. And we can look that God demonstrated for 4,000 years. God was demonstrating that, listen, I am the answer. I'm the answer. I'm who you need. Amen. It was through Jesus Christ as a foreshadow of what was to come. It was a mystery that only you were to be revealed in the Spirit. See, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had a revelation. It was revealed to them. Their eyes were opened in the Spirit, or they would have never been able to walk in it. But the Spirit of God came upon them. Overshadowed them. But now it comes up on you. He says, now we have received, all these things, the deep things, this is divine connection. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world. This is what we got to see. I mean, are we okay? I mean, listen, tell me to stop or if you got a question. But I'm going to work through this because I think it's powerful for us right here, right now. Because there's a spirit in the earth. There's a spirit of the world. Come on, amen. He says, so you need to have the right spirit. Amen. You need to be answering the right call. He's now, you've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say freely given. And what that means is that it's freely given to us by Jesus Christ, that now it can become a possibility that I can walk it out in power and demonstration. He says, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man which is governed by the environment, by the system of the world, the way things go in the world, the way things are going out there, the way things are shaped. See, people are shaken by things that are all out there. That's the system of the world. I'm not governed by that. Come on, amen. God doesn't want us to be governed by that. Jesus showed us and demonstrated the power of the Father to be demonstrated in the earth. He walked it out through the Spirit. Man, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But He demonstrated it. God wants us to demonstrate that we have an ear to hear what God's saying in the environment. Because the world is dying and they're longing for the answer. I'm here to tell you, you're the answer of the earth, in the earth. You're the answer. You're the answer that God's longing to be a demonstration. Jesus was the first son of many demonstrations of the Father. God wants you to be a demonstration. You. Whew. Right in your closet, right when you're alone praying. Demonstrating of His power. Shakes up the environment of hell. I want you to hear that it shakes things up. Prayer. Causes demons to run fear. Causes them to come to a place of surrender. Because you're battling from the heavenlies, not the earth. He says, but natural environment governs man. He says, we receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolish unto him. Foolishness unto him, to that natural man. Foolishness. Some of the stuff seems foolishness that we say about demonstration of miracles, laying hands on the sick and all those different things, speaking in tongues, whatever God says, some of these things seem foolish. You can't make sense of it. You can't make sense of it in the natural man. It doesn't make sense. It's not meant to. Only in the Spirit is it revealed. He says, spiritually, but they're only spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Wow. That you know the mind of Christ, that you can be instructed. But we have. Say we have. We have the mind of Christ. Whew. Same mind that walked. Same Spirit that walked in the earth. That mind that wasn't overwhelmed by any situation that came his way. Jesus, they're coming to kill you. Not my will, but yours be done. See, our natural mind panics. Our natural mind's overwhelmed. Jesus demonstrated, hallelujah, the mind of the Father. He had the mind. We have the mind of Christ. We have His mind in us. Amen? Through the Spirit of God. Amen? I know all things through God's Spirit. I know everything. Listen, I'm here to tell you, listen, God wants you to come to Him with everything. Everything. You lose your keys, you ask the Spirit of God to come. I'm telling you what, I mean this. Everything that we say, sometimes we feel that we don't need to be, I don't want to be needy. No, God wants you to be needy. He wants you to be needy. He wants you to come to Him with everything, with all things, everything, no matter what you need. God, what? How do I do this, God? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to open the service, God? How do you want me to lead? What songs do you want me to sing, God? How do you want me to do this, God? Speak to my heart, God. What do you want me to do, God? Today, God, Lord, as I'm driving to work, God, how do you want to use me, God? How do you want to use me in this? God, there's somebody here, God, that I'm desperate to hear your truth, God. Let me be available. Let me be available, God, that they can hear your word, they can be set free, God. And everything come to God. But he dealt with everything. I want you to see this. Jesus dealt with everything when he was in the earth. The demonstration. He dealt with everything. I'm not going to get into this, but listen, there's leprosy. It speaks of sin. Okay? And leprosy begins, and it speaks of sin as a small, insignificant blemish. That's why it's so important that we let him deal with those things, that we receive what he did for us, because it seems insignificant. I want you to know the difference between us and the world is it's not that big of a deal. That sometimes we let things that become addictive or things that now it's sometimes it becomes normal. That we say it's okay. I want you to know that we know it's not okay, because when you're fasting for 21 days and you're inside your flesh, I don't know about you, but there's days that I go and I don't go all day without eating. I feel it. My flesh is angry. Stop eating sugar like my wife, and it's hard. Because it demands it. It craves it. We realize who's in control, who's not. Listen. And he says, it's a spot or a blemish. Starts off with it's pink, white, but the individual does not realize his condition first. Doesn't realize it. It's progressive. And it's sure to grow. It is said that leprosy grows in degrees according to the individual. It affects the whole individual or the whole man. The worst kind of leprosy is on the forehead. It speaks to your mind. See, God wants you to have the mind of Christ. But sin separates you. It is contagious and can affect others. It causes hair to fall out, which speaks of not submitting to authority, not having leadership, not having a covering upon you. I want you to know that, listen, you need to have a pastor pray for you. Amen. I pray for you. I don't say this. I say this in a place of humble. I pray for you daily. I pray God's protection that you're surrounded by a boundary of blood. Amen? And it scares me, and that people step out from the covering. They don't take it lightly. They don't take it seriously. It's serious. It really is. That God has placed pastors in lives to be the shepherd of their souls. To come to a place to speak into their lives. That you're willing to come to a place of surrender with me. That's why I said you need to know who I am. If not, you need to find someone that you could trust. Because if you can't trust me with your soul, wow. If you're not a place to surrender, amen, that it's dangerous. But it says your hair fall out. And he says it is, listen, everybody get this too. This is spiritual. He says, and it causes your hair to fall out. It means a picture of no submission. It causes insensibility and numbness, which speaks of a hardened heart. The leper was shut out and separated. I want you to see that the sin, these are the works of the enemy. Come on, amen. Sin is the work of the enemy. That because of sin, they were set apart, set out because of that sin. It wasn't God. It was because of sin. They were separated because of sin. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Amen. It was the act of them, and it was the response of what they sowed. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus became the remedy to all this right here. Listen. He says, the leper was shut out and separated from the camp, and the sinner is estranged from God and the things of God. It separates you from the things of God, from hearing God. Because God's calling every day. God's speaking to us every day. It's whether or not I come to a place where that I listen to God. See, God can get louder. He's going to get louder. He wants to get louder in your life. He wants to get more louder in our lives. But as we hear what He's saying, what's He saying to me? There's moments where I'm sensitive to God. If He's saying something to me, don't do that. It's the little things. It's hearing Him more and more. He says, leprosy is incurable. There's no natural answer or remedy, thus showing that the efforts of man to save is futile. Say Jesus. Do you know what the remedy was? The remedy for leprosy, here's what it was. Take two birds. He says, and can somebody look this up? Can you look this up? Read this for me. And it's Leviticus 14, 1 through 7. I want you to get this. Say this is spiritual, speaking to spiritual. Say that we look at it in natural, but I want you to get this. See, if the enemy would have understood this, known the truth, he would have realized, oh, wait, if we kill him, he's the answer for the problem. I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what. He's talking about Jesus. Amen. There was a demonstration. Moses got a picture of this, of what was to be. Amen. That something came. This was a shadow of what was to be. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, He was the bird that was under running water. That speaks of the flow of the Spirit that was running. The continual, amen, He was never separated because of sin, because He never sinned. There was a continual flow from the Father upon Him. Hallelujah. Running water upon Him. Amen. And He says, and then we got to take a hold of this to see. He says that bird was killed. It was killed, Jesus took away the sin of the world. The earthen vessel speaks of a picture of Jesus, that He came in the flesh. It was in the earthen vessel, Jesus, the bird, placed in the earthen vessel. You get this? Come on. He was in an earthen vessel, and He was killed, placed in that with running water upon Him, that God was continually with Him. He never left Him, amen. Even though sin, He said, Father, He experienced what we experienced, but the Father was always, say always. Always with Him. Always with Him. So here, listen. So the running water was continual. And then all of a sudden they were to be dipped in the blood. That we are to be dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is how you cure sin. This is how sin is cured. This is how you break the back of the enemy. It's through Jesus Christ. Everything, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to everything. So they took that blood, and it says that it was, what was it between? Those speaks of two trees. One was a cedar tree. Cedar's the biggest, say the biggest. Hyssop, it's a little branch. It's the branch that they took and they dipped it in the blood and they put it on the doorpost. It's hyssop that they took and they beat His back with. Hyssop is that little twig, that little thing. It's the little sin. It's a small little thing, Beth. It's that little thing, amen. And the cedar was the big sin. I want you to know He's got it all covered, because scarlet, the blood was in between them. From one to the other. It didn't matter what it was, man. Didn't, whether it was murder, whether it was a lie, it didn't matter. Jesus was the remedy to every one of them. Is that powerful? He was given to me. And it says He was released into the field after they sprinkled the blood on Him seven times. Seven speaks of Christ. And they pronounced Him clean. This reveals a complete cleansing of sin. Say complete cleansing of sin. Speaks of redemption. In Hebrew, the word face, it says they're open into the open field. Believers have been free to worship with an open face, beholding the glass of glory of the Lord. The field is the world. The psalmist agreed. Our soul has escaped out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. We have escaped. That's Psalms 124:7. He says, Christians have been loosed from sin to witness and to testify about the gospel of God's grace. Do you see the picture of this? Not to go to heaven, which is great, but I'm telling you, heaven doesn't need it. It's altogether lovely. There's no weariness, there's no sickness, but God needs you in the earth. He doesn't need you to die prematurely, but He needs some people to declare over one another health and prosperity and purpose and, amen, to speak into one another's lives. So people don't die before their time. He says to be released. That's the purpose, that we go to preach the gospel into a release. That's the gospel. Released into an open field to minister. What is the gospel according to Mimsy? God really arrested me with that. He says, what's the gospel according to you? What am I preaching with my life? What am I demonstrating? What power am I demonstrating? They're looking for an answer. What am I demonstrating to the world that's dying? I've been set free for a purpose. I've been set free. I've not come more alive than ever, realizing that I've been set free for a purpose. I'm part of a plan. I'm part of a redemption plan that Jesus took care of 2,000 years ago. That now I can make it a reality in my life. That thing's not a possibility, but it's a reality within me. That I'm called to demonstrate it. Jesus came in the flesh. 1 John. He that committeth sin is of the devil. But He's talking about this, that he that sinneth is speaking of a making it a practice. Doesn't mean that, listen, you fall, you'll fall, you'll fall. Yeah. But it is that place where that you know that there's that deliberate where that you continually practice it over and you practice it over. That God speaks to you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. See, this is how we can minister to people, because God still loves you. Amen. Because every one of us falls short, whatever it might be. It might not be that big. It might just be hyssop. It might not be cedar, but it's still sin to God. Get ready for the good news, because you all look nervous there for a second. Who sinneth? Because the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God, this is the reason. Say, this is the reason. This is the reason he was manifested. That he manifests himself, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he would bring into captivity death and sin. That he would destroy, say destroy, the works of the devil. That Jesus, he was raised in hell. The word raise, not R-A-I-S, because I used to do that. I used to raise hell. That means I used to exalt and lift up that depths of hell with my life. But Jesus, R-A-Z-E, that means utterly destroy. Jesus utterly destroyed the works of the devil. And you say, but look at the world. Look at the school. No, no, no. Listen, I want you to know. Jesus utterly destroyed. Now that can become a possibility in my life. Because I can walk in his works. I can walk in that reality, in that truth. Why? Because he is the truth. So what he did, it can become my reality today, Dale. See, that's the will of the Father. I want to know the will. Do you want to know the will of God? Do I want to know the will of God? Because the more I find out the will of God, it means that God says, no, no, my will is that you demonstrate it, that you come against it. You become a hell raiser. You become destroying, utterly destroying the works of the devil. See, because the devil doesn't, you need to cause him to remind him that in your life, that you utterly destroy the works of the devil. Utterly destroy. That he removed him from the place of his authority. See, he had power. He had power. Come on, amen. Listen, he thinks he still got power. He thinks he got power, Mipsy. But I'm here to tell you, he don't have any power. He don't have any power over you, amen? Because I'm walking in the reality of heaven on earth right here. I'm walking in the works of what Jesus Christ did for me. I'm taking hold of it with everything that I got within me, believing with every fiber, energy within me, standing in it, because I'm called to. I'm anointed to do this. You're anointed to do this. He died and went to heaven. Listen, he went and seated upon in the throne. If Jesus would not went to sit upon the throne, it would not have given me authority. But I'm here to tell you, not only did he sit there, but he says, now I'm the high priest that takes you by the hand, Chris. I'm going to take you in to this place. And you're going to sit with me in the heavenlies. Sit back and remind the devil, let him know that you have no authority, because the Father has ultimately destroyed the works of the devil. That's my reality. But as I walk it out, it becomes more real. It becomes more alive. See, because we're blinded. The more you walk, the more you see. I wanted to preach that part with Jesus where we laid hand on a man and he looked and you think, well, Jesus messed up because he really didn't get healed. Remember, he's seen trees? That's what he really seen. That was the truth, actually. But then he brought him back. He says, all right, I won't let him see, because what he seen were trees of righteousness. He says that we're trees of righteousness. He let him open his eyes to the heavenlies to see trees of righteousness. All these heathens that were walking around, he's seen them the way God seen them. Huh? I came and died for them. Them right there. Every one of them. Destroy the works of them. He brought spiritual death. The enemy brought spiritually death. Spiritual death. He brought spiritual death. He brought spiritual death. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. Oh, Jesus came. No, no, no. He came to destroy the works of the devil so that now, Dale, you can enter in and worship God. I don't take it lightly. Someone calls for worship, man. I need to be at the right place. I need to get to worship, man. I want to be in worship. Colossians 2:14. He says, blotting out the handwriting. He blotted it out of the ordinance. Ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. He took it out of the way. Amen. Nailing it upon his cross. Amen. He nailed it upon his cross. And that's why he did it, depict it with movies, how that they show that the nails went through there, that even though it was hurt, it was the pain, he did it without complaining. He submitted. Why? Because he was taking the accusations against you to blot them out with his blood. Thank you, Jesus. He says, thinking it to take it to the cross. And having spoiled, he has spoiled the plans. He's spoiled the plans and powers, principalities. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He triumphed over them in it. Hallelujah. The powers, wow, triumphed over them by the demonstration of his powers. He triumphed over them, walked on demons. He said, you're to walk on scorpions and you're to step on serpents' heads. Power, step on their heads. Hebrews 2:14. He says, for as much as your children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he says, just like we are made of flesh and blood, Jesus also took on the forms of flesh and blood. He says, he himself likewise took part of the same, because if not, we cannot associate, we cannot connect. He connected with us with pain or suffering. He says, listen, I understand it's hard, so I'm just going to make a way for you. I'm going to show you how to raise hell. I'm going to show you how to do it in an anointed way. Amen. How to triumph over the enemy. I'm going to show you how to do it. Amen. 2:14. He says, in blood. He says, also likewise, and took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He had the power of death. He had it. He says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily, he took on him the nature of not the natures of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him that he made like unto us, brethren, that we might be merciful and faithful high priest, that he would be a high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, means to add relief, them that are tempted. See, he made a way for you. We got to get an understanding of the reality. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Wow, well, he is the way to walk in, right here. Not to heaven, which is true, but it's more than that. Romans, for I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. You can present yourself holy. Why? Because he made you holy. Because he took hold of the works of the enemy, amen, blotted out with his handwriting 2,000 years ago that was written about you. It says you're guilty. He took it away. He made you free. He broke the chains of bondage that was on you of death, separation. He says, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That we have the right mind. What is that mind? It's the mind of Christ. That you be a hellraiser. That you don't accept those things that come from the world. You don't accept those things that are some nonchalantly the church just lets go by and don't stand upon it and come against it. Because they might, well, I don't want people to get uncomfortable. Kidding me? This is serious business. Don't care, because I don't want people to die in sin. I want to let them know they're free. I don't want them to die prematurely of a sickness that God has given to us the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. First thing in your mind, you say, well, people don't always recover. Listen, I know that. But listen, we're demonstrating. We're walking in it. Because I want you to know we need to preach faith. We need to preach faith to people. We need to speak faith. I know that there's different. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on faith about how that there's different reasons. Sometimes people don't sick. There's reasons. Sometimes there's different situations, whatever that might be. Whether it's faith, all through the Bible, Jesus showed. But you know, there's sometimes Jesus in his own time that he was not. He could heal people. There were some that he healed. It says he healed a few. But you know why he couldn't? Because of unbelief. They were so stubborn towards it. And it wasn't, remember, because there was other people that were sick, and they didn't deny him, and they were healed. It wasn't their faith, it was his faith. But it's when they stubbornly, all right, I can't, conformed. But we become conformed. The church has become conformed with the world. What the world says, it's true. But we need to get out of shape with the world. You become conformed to the world. You become shaped like the world. You become acceptable like the world. You become, like, we don't even look any different than anybody in the world. Jesus walked. He walked in a room. See, our spirit that's within us is to not just be confined to me, but for others to be touched by the Spirit of God that's in me when I walk into a room. Remember, Jesus was inside his mother. And when she walked in the room, John leaped in Elizabeth because of the Spirit that was in Mary. Leaped. It's not bound. John 15. But here's the problem. Listen, when you don't conform to, when you begin to be transformed by the renewing of your minds, quickening to what Jesus Christ, the reality that, wow, I've been lied to. I don't need to accept this. Well, it's just diabetes, or it's just cholesterol, or it's just this and that. We just accept these things. I have knees that don't have anything between them, and I don't accept it. Well, it's just part of the doctor said you're just going to have this part of age. I'm thinking that no matter what sickness. See, I want you to hear this and know that sickness is an oppression from the devil. It means because I'm in the world, but I don't have to be of the world. I don't have to conform to it. But every day I begin to make affirmations over my life that this is the body. I tell my body, you need to submit to God's word that by your stripes we were healed. Do you hear that, body? You were healed, that you can walk this thing out. John 15, 19 says, and if we were of the world would love us. We fit in. If you conform to the world. But when you begin to raise hell, when you begin to destroy the works of the devil, come on, tell someone raise hell. If they have, he says, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. I have chosen you out of the world. Amen. I have chosen you out of the world to pull you out of that abyss of sin and darkness. Hallelujah. And unbelief. I pulled you out of that place. And therefore, the world hates you. They hate you because of my name, because of who I am. Don't take it personal. It's about me. Ephesians 2. I'm not of this world. Amen. He says, we got to accept. Listen. And you, and this is 2:1. He says, and you have, he quickened. You have quickened. He's called you out of dead trespasses and sins. He's called you out of it. He's called us out of it. He's called us out of it. Amen. To answer the call. That means that sometimes he's still calling because there's some things that I might not be aware of, Del, that become sometimes because I've conformed to it, that it becomes something to me that I think it might be truth. It might not be that bad. But when God calls me, when he speaks to me in the midst of my trespasses and I respond to him, that he quickens me, that I respond to the Spirit when he speaks to me, he says, Chris, no, that's not okay for you. I ain't looking at nobody else. Listen, and the Bible says, come as you are, but don't stay that way. It's kind of like my daughter. When my daughter, she comes to me and sits on my lap, or when she used to come to me and she didn't want to clean her room, or she didn't want to do the things she needed to do, and tell me, I love you, Daddy. I love you so much. I know you do, but go clean your room. You still got to clean your room, babe. I love you. I know that. So we come to church and tell him how much we love him, because you're telling me to clean the room. You're telling me to do what you've made possible to do. You made it possible for me to make it my reality, to walk it out. He says, the trespasses and sins wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of this power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children. It works today. It works today on people that we love. I'm here to tell you, on people we love. It works in their lives. It's working in their life. And God wants you to destroy the works of the devil. Pray. To come to pray. Come on, Wednesday nights to pray. You might think, is it making any difference? Yeah, we are raising hell. Come on, amen. We are storming the gates of hell on behalf of those that are lost, that are broken, that don't know who he is, that need to be rescued from what Jesus Christ did for them. That's why it's important. That's working. That's raising hell. That's doing the works. That's working the works of Christ. Potentially, the capacity to develop, it needs to be my reality. Listen, he says, work the work. He says, oh, among whom also you had your conversations in times past, even more, that you've had our conversations in times past with the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love with all he loved you, even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ on the cross. Amen. All. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the world, all the world, that Jesus died for all the world. Not for a few, but for the all. He says, hath quickened us together in Christ, by grace you are saved. And you have raised us up together
and made us to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come we might show, I want you to get this, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest a man should boast. Works of man, not the works of God. He says, for we are his workmanship, created. Get ready, because I'm telling you, this is what purpose is about. This is what you're walking right here for. That we take hold of what we're going through right now. You were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You were created, Del, for good works. You were created for good works. Amen. To work the works, to be hellraisers, amen, to destroy. Jesus went doing good works and teaching and preaching and healing the sick. He was doing good. He was doing the works. He says, Jesus says, I do the works to raise hell. That when you teach your children about Jesus, when you bring them before him, and when you worship before you, you're raising hell. Come on, amen. You're destroying the works of the devil. When you're preaching the gospel of the good news, you're working the works of Christ. He says, good works which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them. That you should walk in them. He's ordained you. He's anointed you. Tell someone to walk in them. And Jesus gave us a way. I want you to see this as I wrap this up. Jesus took his all the power, all the authority of God, set it aside, but without sin, that he came in human flesh, so that from the beginning to the end that you could see from birth to death, the demonstration of power. Say, Chris, I'm making this a possibility for you. Here's how you do it. I'm going to give you my spirit. Jesus, the Bible says that he stood in, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Spirit of God descended upon him. He received the Spirit to be led. And the Bible says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. He submitted. Jesus submitted to the Spirit, being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. He's able to tell you this is the way, walk in it, because he did. He's able to say this, I'm the high priest. Now listen, I'm telling you this, I've inspected the Lamb because I am the Lamb. And it's good enough. Walk in it. I'm making a way in this world. Pulled you out of darkness that you walk in this earth in light as a demonstration of the power of the Father. That you walk it out. This is who you were intended to be. Right here, I want you to see this. As he walked it out. So he walked from that place and he walked into church. Stepped there and he says, I am anointed. He was anointed to heal the sick. So are you. The brokenhearted. Those that are lame. This is, you're anointed for. You're anointed for it. He died for you to raise hell. To destroy utterly the works of the devil. You, us, me, every one of us. And Jesus went around doing good. Pulling down strongholds. Every one of us. Ah, me, no, no, you. In your room, when no one's watching, pulling down strongholds. That you come to a place where you recognize demons that are chasing after people, trying to influence them, trying to infiltrate their life with lies. But God got you, anointed, led by the Spirit. Acts 10:38, you can look it up. The Bible says that the oppression of the devil, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He anointed him. Jesus says, walk ye in it. This demonstration of who he is, listen, of Holy Ghost with the power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Oppressed. Sickness, disease is an oppression of the devil. It's an oppression of the devil. We need to get angry about that. We need to get angry, hallelujah, not to say, well, but it's just this. No, no, no. It's not just that. It's not, if it's causing somebody hurt, if it's causing somebody pain or whatever that is, we need to stand against it. Sometimes some things you might not ultimately will walk in full health, what Jesus did. But we're not called to figure it out.
Well, when do I do that, Jesus? No, no, just do it. Just declare it. Just speak it. And over our lives, over your lives, amen. God's waiting for you to demonstrate it in your life first. He's waiting for you to walk in that reality before we lay hands on a sick and see them recover. God wants you to speak it over your life, amen. Before I speak it over your life, I need to speak it over my life. I need to be desperate to speak it over my life to say, I'm tired of the enemy oppressing me with sickness and disease, whatever it is. And whenever it comes upon me, I need to speak against it. John 14:10. He says, believest thou not that I am the Father, I am and the Father in me. And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. He does the works. He does the works. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the demonstration that I've done this, that I cast out devils. See, the enemy wants you to think, well, see, he wants you to conform to the world. Say, oh, don't cast out demons. No, 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 just leave that little demon in there. It ain't a big deal. Verily, verily. You know what that means? That means that the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. This is what verily, verily means. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do. Do you believe that he did those works? Do you believe that he did those works? Come on, amen. Come on, make it a recognition right now before the enemy. Do you believe he did those works? Do you believe it? He says, believeth on the works that I do, shall he do also. If you believe I did these works, if you believe I have done these works, you could do them also, Dale. You could do them, Dale. You could do these works. Why? Because it's my Father's will. It's the works of the Father. It's the desire. I don't do anything that the Father doesn't say. But God says, lay hands on the sticks and they shall recover. It's not my words. It's his words. Ask and it shall be given to you. Say to this mountain, be removed. The works that I do, he do also in greater. Say greater. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. See, you're able to do great works because he went to the Father. Now you do it through him. Together you do it. Greater works. What it means, greater works, it means it's multiplied. It's not just Jesus in the earth, but because I go to the Father, it's not just me in the earth and the flesh anymore, but now I'm in the Spirit. Now I'm in Dan. Now I'm in Kelly. Now I'm in you, Beth. I'm in you in the earth. Hallelujah. That's dangerous. Amen. That's dangerous. That's destroying the works of the devil of what he did. It's his works walking in the earth. That's powerful. Amen. He says, and whatsoever he asks, I want to believe it and act like it's true. Not just going through motions, coming to church, say, oh, no, no, no. I need to be a demonstration. Not a form of godliness. No. But believing what he says, I believe it. And if I have a hard time, help my unbelief, God. Help me. Push out to what doesn't. Transform what doesn't believe. Transform me, God. Transform me. Let me acknowledge you, God. Let me not conform to the lies that the enemy deceives us. Let me not conform to that, but let me be transformed by my mind in Christ. That I believe what you believe. That I believe I do the works on the earth that you did. That I walk in that reality. That I could say that mountain about to be removed. That I could speak to whatever that is. And it has to respond. It's got to respond. The workers are few. Bible says, ask for workers. The harvest is ready, but the workers. You know why? Because that's day laborers. You know what day laborers are? They're the ones that show up to say, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. Whatever you need me to do. That's a day laborer. That's why the laborers are few. Laborers are few. Not everybody comes when opportunity presents itself. We can't get angry. We can't look at those ones and say, well, why aren't they here? You know what? We pray. We just pray. We just pray for them, for hunger. When it comes to your mind to condemn them, pray for hunger for them. When you hear me praying for hunger, that's from me setting aside my anger or my, why aren't they here, and saying, God, just make them hungry. Make them hungry. Just make them hungry, God. Make them hungry for you. I thank you, God, that I'm here, that I'm hungry and desperate for you, God. I thank you that your Spirit's working in me to cause me to be awakened. I thank you for that, God. So, God, Lord, I ask you that what you do in me, do it in them. Do it in them. Do it in them. Do it in their lives. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they're facing. Amen? But we got to pray the works
that we do the works. And I can't get into the whole thing, but Jesus says this. He says, "It is finished. I have glorified thee on the earth." This is Jesus' last prayer, John 17. He says, "I have finished the work which thou gave me to do." I've done the works that you told me to do. Everything that you said in your word, I did it. He says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me." Listen, "and thou own self with their glory, which I had with thee before I came to earth." Let me receive that glory that I had, I set aside. Come on, say, "set it aside for you. I have manifested your name. I have demonstrated your name unto all men, which thou gave to me out of this world. They were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept the word." I just want to share this for a second. They have kept the word. Say, "they've kept the word." Is that a lie? He's talking about the disciples that forsook him. He's talking about disciples that turned their back from him. And he's telling the Father, "Father, they've kept your word." You know why? Because he didn't look in the natural. He was seeing them sitting with him on the right hand of the Father. That's how he sees you. We need to see us, ourselves, the way he sees me. They've kept the word. They believed that I said, "lay hands on the sick and recover." They kept the word. They believed the word when I said, "forgive." I said, "love your enemy." They believed the word. They believed the word. He says, "and now they have known that all that whatsoever thou hast given me are of you. For I have given unto them the words which thou hast gave to me, and have received them, and have known surely that I came out from you, and they have believed that thou didst send me." They believed it. "And I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them that has given to me." He says, "and all mine are thine." Everyone are mine. "I am glorified in them." That I'm glorified in them. God's glorified in you. He says, "and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, but not of it. I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that thou may be one as we are one." This is important for me to say this. This is authority. This is the authority that you walk in. He says, "while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those thou gavest me, and I kept them, and none of them," I want you to see, say kept. "kept them is lost, but the son of perdition," that means Satan. I died for everybody to make this a possibility, to make it a reality. I died for everybody. He says that the scripture might be fulfilled in them. That this can become the gospel according to Dale. That this scripture can be fulfilled in you. That you walk out this living word right here. I walk it out. I don't just talk about it, but I walk it out. I live it. I act it out. He says, "and I have given them your word, and the world hath hated them because thou art not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil." Keep them. He says, "for they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Set them apart, sanctify them through thy truth and thy word." He says, "and thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world," that I have sent you, even how you have sent me, I have set them apart, that they're set apart, and they are kept in your word. You are kept, protected, it's in the word. Tell someone it's in the word. See, I want you to know, for me to be a Christian, to say, I am a Christian, I got to keep the word. I got to keep the word. We just see this. Sometimes we blame things, "oh, things aren't working out my way." Listen, you got to keep the word. And sometimes you got to keep the word. Just keep the word and walk it through. keeping Him. It's holding Him in your heart, that the Father will keep you if you keep His word. We keep His word. Sometimes we miss the mark because we speak our own words. It's our own will. Sometimes God's working something out of my life because it's my will that I pray, not God's will. Listen, I want you to hear the song. Rise and shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, upon me. The glory of